I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's going to be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. There's something in common. Good luck to you, Seacrest House.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Hey there, welcome back to the Church Acts Podcast. And it wasn't too long ago that everyone was talking about AI. AI this, AI that. And I went on to the note-taking app that I used to write podcasts, and it gave me the option, hey, would you like us to write an article for you in AI? So I have no idea what an episode generated in AI would be like, but this is where we got to be careful. I was talking to someone, they're like, oh, do you think that AI could write my sermon? And I was like, whoa, let's slow it down there, okay? I don't know, AI writing your sermon, if that is a good thing. I don't know if the Lord would appreciate that, but anyway. So here in the Church Acts Podcast, we believe that the church is, was, and will always be a house of action. We need to be people who are not just sitting on the sidelines waiting for someone else to do good, but people who will stand up and take up, you know, the places and positions that God has called us to and then affect change, to be men and women of action. So if that sounds tiring or difficult, well, I think it can be at times, which also leads us to the topic of today's episode. But I promise you, God has been good to make up the difference in my life personally where I've just lacked. And I know he'll do the exact same in your life if you just stand up and out in boldness and get into the fight. So don't be discouraged whatsoever. And with that being said, let's jump right into it. So I wanted to start the podcast off today with a short story. This past week, I went with my church to something called snow tubing. So if you're from a warmer climate or have no idea what that is, basically, we grab a tube, climb up the top of like a tall hill, and then slide down the hill at pretty high speeds. And it's not just some random hill too. Like you actually have to go to a place that has like ski hills, snowboarding hills, dedicated snow tubing hills. It's a lot of fun. And another great benefit of going tubing at a place like that is they have like a lift system that carries you up the hill so you don't have to walk all the way up, which is, of course, the worst part of winter activities when you have to walk the sled right back up the hill or whatever it might be. The only time you really actually have to walk when you go snow tubing is when you're at the bottom of the hill once you've gone down. So from the bottom to the lift, that will take you back up again. So I just went down the hill with some friends and I started walking. Magna was with me. So I said, hey, let me pull you. So she sat in my tube and a few minutes went by and we're still walking. This kid was walking with us. I'm a friend's kid, so not just a random kid, by the way. So I said, hey, do you want me to pull you as well? So he jumped in, then another kid. So I'm walking and I'm pulling like all these tubes. Then on top of that, the mom of the kids jumped in and I started to feel it. I was like, okay, we're going to keep going. Like it's not that difficult, but it's getting heavier for sure. So I kept pulling. Well, then the dad got in the tube as well. So at this point, there were like five people that I was pulling. Now, my boots were like really digging into the snow at this point. I was like pulling. I was like feeling the leg muscles burning. And as a matter of fact, I also did like leg day early in the morning. So I'm like, oh, 2.0 over here. You get the picture. See, when my wife jumped in, I noticed that I was pulling more than just my tube, but it wasn't like a big problem. So I happily invited the kids to join in. And when they did, no problems there. But then without asking, the next person jumped in. The next person jumped in and it became more and more difficult. Now, when I talk about that, we were all having fun and it was a nice challenge for me to see how many people I could pull. It was just like one of those things just for fun. But what would happen if that was my experience the entire day? Pulling people, not for fun, but because I had to. What if I had to pull them up the hill instead of using the lift? The weight would eventually break me down to the point where, like, out of pure exhaustion, I just couldn't pull anything or anyone anymore. Even if I was just pulling one person, I might be able to go a bit further than if I was pulling five, but eventually I would tire myself right out and not be able to go on. So over the next two episodes, I want to talk about heaviness, not a physical weight. It's something that I've had to face time and time again. And it's something that I believe as leaders, we have the opportunity to take on time and time again. But just like with the analogy of the snow tubes and the weight just constantly being added, if we keep taking heaviness on without offloading it, heavy situations, this circumstance, that circumstance, we will eventually become so weighed down that we will become ineffective. Is that the primary goal and outcome of heaviness? I believe that if it is not, it is certainly one of the top ones. The Bible talks about heaviness in many different forms. So you have heaviness taking the form of being weary. You have heaviness taking the form of pursuing wealth and how that could really just steal your focus. You have heaviness coming in the form of earthly pressures, choking out the good that is in our hearts. So what can we do when we're feeling heavy? How can we practically throw off heaviness so that we can walk and really live from a place of peace? So today I'm going to talk about the spiritual side effects of things, the spiritual side of things rather. And then on to the next podcast, we're going to be talking about some practical things that we can do to prevent mental overwhelm that really helps heaviness along. So there are two interesting definitions of heaviness to me. The dictionary had a few, but these are the two interesting ones. So the first one, the quality of being oppressive or overpowering to the senses. The second one is a mentally oppressive feeling, especially of sadness or grief. It's really such a big topic that I need God's wisdom to help unpack it, but heaviness right there, the quality of being oppressive, something that overpowers the senses, a mentally oppressive feeling. Notice that is described as a mentally oppressive feeling, not necessarily a fact. So what does this tell us? Well, if this feeling lives in our minds, there is usually a road of decisions, maybe thoughts, maybe circumstances that can lead us to that place. That is something to be aware of. Heaviness, that oppressive feeling, is a destination from a journey that we choose to go on. I'll say that again. Heaviness, that oppressive feeling, is a destination from a journey that we go on. Why should we even confront heaviness in our lives? And isn't it normal, right? Doesn't everyone just experience this? This is an easy one. So the definition we just read says that heaviness is defined as a mentally oppressive feeling. So with that in mind, my question is then, do you believe that God wants you or anyone to be mentally oppressed? It's really easy when we kind of just draw it out like that. Remember, Jesus came so that we would have life and life to the fullest, to deliver us from slavery and bondage, not give, you know, spiritual oppression. Of course not. Not just spiritually he wanted to deliver us, but in every single way. It is the enemy that wants to steal and kill and destroy. So in my mind, mentally oppressive thoughts, you know, these patterns of sadness that is not bringing life. If it's not bringing life to my mind, it's pretty clear that this is not the mental state that God has for us. See, there are times for mourning. There are times for sadness, like when we lose a loved one. But to have an ongoing sense of this grief, to be feeling so oppressed in our minds that we feel heavy, like we're carrying a weight around all the time, that is not from God, and that is something that needs to be confronted if it's going to change. So I'm going to talk about confronting heaviness from two different perspectives. The first perspective that we will talk about is that when we feel heaviness trying to come on us, when we're going about our weeks, and suddenly, you know, something happens and we feel ourselves starting to become mentally oppressed when things try to overpower our senses, as we read in the earlier definition. And then the second example we'll talk about is when we feel heaviness because of long suffering. When we feel like we can't escape, you know, a circumstance or situation, we start to get into hopelessness and, you know, just this heavy territory. This would be more extreme ongoing heaviness that can actually act as a gateway to even more dangerous and harmful things. So the first kind of heaviness is the more common form of it, I find, you know, where we could be going about our weeks and then all of a sudden something happens. You know, we might get a message that was unexpected. We might suddenly have forgotten about something and then it just like pops up. We could have forgotten, you know, like let's say a bill and then noticed that even though we were doing so well with our finances, all of a sudden we bounced a check. Maybe you were having a great day when someone came up to you and just reamed you out. Notice what's happening here. I've intentionally been using the word suddenly as well. See, when these things happen, the unexpected and unpleasant things, you know, our patterns are interrupted. And when that happens, it opens us up if we don't catch ourselves going down a bad path. Did you ever have like some toy trains when you were younger? This is the way I'm thinking about it. Maybe it was even one of those cool electric ones that go around a Christmas tree. So there's this piece of a track that is used even in actual train rails called a switch or a turnaround. It is a set of movable rails or points that can be arranged to direct like the train on either one of two routes. I don't want you to miss how profound this is. See, the train could be heading in one direction when suddenly it comes to a switch point, at that point, it will either do one of two things. It'll stay headed in the same direction, or at the switch point, it will switch to the new track. And when we're faced with these situations that pop up in our weeks, many things try and pull on that lever that would cause us to switch tracks. And if we don't catch those things, we open ourselves up to going down a path of heaviness. When we are faced with difficult relationship issues that don't seem to maybe want to go away, switch. You know, when we hear of a loved one that has been diagnosed with something and we feel helpless, well, switch. You know, when we feel overwhelmed at work, switch. When someone leaves a nasty comment, when someone says something against us, switch. You know, these and more are things that pull on that lever that allow us to go down paths of heaviness. Now let's visit the second type of heaviness. Even though they seem to be different, they're very similar. So we just spoke about the common everyday, you know, seemingly out of nowhere heaviness. Also notice the word seemingly that I just used. What about heaviness that comes from discouragement or even defeat? This is a deeper form of heaviness because it is momentum in the form of perceived proof behind it. And what do I mean by perceived proof? Well, you may have tried, but then failed. So now you have a narrative that starts to build that gives proof that in turn increases the heaviness as well. So I have this friend, for example, someone who I just spoke with actually not too long ago. They have struggled with anxiety to the point where it's making their world just seemingly smaller and smaller and smaller to the point where they feel like they can't even leave their house or go a few moments from their house, lest anxiety just throws them into a panic. And at first, they tried doing the mental work. They read books and they even, you know, prayed and cried out to God, but the anxiety is still there. So they're trying this and they're trying that, all of these different things. Now, as a result of nothing really working, heaviness, along with its best friend, hopelessness, has set in. The heaviness is even greater than a one-time occurrence in their life, though, because they have faced anxiety many times and have felt like the anxiety has conquered them instead of the other way around. So there is the real-world proof behind their heaviness now that is telling them that this may, in fact, actually be something that they have to deal with for the rest of their life. What are we supposed to do with situations like that? Especially those who have a high level of self-awareness, like you know what's going on. You already know in that situation that things seem hopeless. And now heaviness has just made it feel like you're carrying this weight around into everything that you do. It is literally stealing from you. It is killing your peace and it is destroying your hope. So what is someone to do when they are in a situation like that? I'll tell you what people usually try and do. They usually try and think their way out of it. They try and go find the newest course or the latest book and they go to people and ask for prayer. Now, these things are not necessarily bad, but if we aren't careful, and I want you to hear me, they can actually become a tool of the enemy to distract you from what is really going on to bring you deliverance. And this is something we were talking about. I forget what episode it was, but with the psychotherapist, Anne-Marie Covert, she was saying, hey, like a lot of people, when it comes to anxiousness and different situations, they think they can think themselves out of it. You know, in the book of Samuel, we see two kings that do things in very different ways. Pardon me. And in one of them, we can find our answer to heaviness. So you have Saul, King Saul. Notice Saul's life and his choices, right? If you've read 1st or 2nd Samuel, well, actually 1st Samuel's where Saul is. So King Saul was always trying to do things. You know, Samuel didn't come at the appointed time. So King Saul, he felt compelled and he just did something. He just tried to move it forward. He was like the perfect candidate for like the Nike slogan. He like just did it. He tried to force things to happen. And as a result, God actually rejected him as king. But then you have David. When pushed beyond measure, when everyone else is turning against him, David inquires of the Lord. Not perfectly. You know, there were times where he was led out of emotion for sure, but then you quickly see his heart, how even in those moments, he wanted to seek God. So one king trying to do things, just trying to do whatever they could. The other, not just realizing, but knowing that the battle belongs to the Lord. And that is the key right there. The battle belongs to the Lord. To my friend who struggles so deeply with anxiety that it has affected their life, they have tried doing and doing. And if they aren't careful, I kind of felt the Holy Spirit giving me this wisdom in prayer. They'll be trying things. And so many people, I just don't want to pick on them. It's so true. Even myself, I could be susceptible to this. We'll be trying to do things, chasing solutions for our entire lives. I don't speak that over their lives, of course. It's a reality though. They need to realize that there are battles that are won, not by doing, but by believing and placing all their trust in the fact that the battle belongs not to them, but to the Lord. This is something that the enemy does not want you to find out. he wants you to chase the symptoms, right? Trying to put out small fires constantly, because if he can get you to do that, you'll be distracted as a Christian. You will be fragmented. Even in our minds will become fragmented. If I can go there for a moment, there was a time actually recently when I was shown a vision. So there was a believer who was used to trying their own way to practically do things to overcome what they were trying to overcome, and always working, always striving in the natural. It seemed good to them because, after all, hey, what you do not confront will not change. We know that. The demons in this vision were watching this person because it was of demonic assignment that this person was being attacked and tormented and oppressed, and heaviness just sat over their life. But then, all of a sudden, this person decided to do something different. They went on their knees and they started proclaiming that the battle belonged to the Lord. They kept praying this out and praying for God to intervene, you know, believing and praying. And the demons stopped laughing right away. And they started to go, what are they doing? You know, they literally started to panic, because when this person stopped trying on their own strength, they stopped fighting by their own strength. They turned to the one with whom all things are possible. And as a result, their methods became effective. So let's go back a few moments where I gave the following examples. When we are faced with difficult relationship issues that don't seem to want to go away, switch. You know, when we hear of a loved one that has been diagnosed with something, switch. We know when we feel overwhelmed at work, switch. When someone leaves a nasty comment or says something against us, we tend to feel weighed down, switch, right? What if we took control of that feeling and realized that it's not our battle to fight? You know, what if we recognize that our natural tendency is to feel heavy when these things happen? You know, health issues that we can't solve, financial difficulties, you know, feeling overwhelmed and belittled at work, all of these can cause us to feel weighed down. But what if we took back control and remembered that the battle ultimately belongs to the Lord? When we face difficult relationship issues that don't seem to go away, you know, we can switch our mindsets. You know, we can remind ourselves that God is above it all, that He has good plans for our future, that He gave us this person to care for. At a minimum, they're connected to us and we're connected to God, so we can pray in the name of Jesus that His power would flow through us and touch their lives. You know, we can give our cares to God and lay our burdens at His feet, knowing that we can't do anything in our own strength. You know, if a loved one has been diagnosed maybe with an illness, we can switch our mindset and then speak perfect health over them in the name of Jesus. You know, we can thank God that He will always make a way. If someone leaves a nasty comment or says something against us, you know, we can switch our mindset and remember that God sees it all. We can ask Him to give us perspective in the situation and help us see things for what they really are. We can remind ourselves of who God says we are and find security in Him. When we feel weighed down, we need to remember that it's not our battle to fight, right? It's easy to think that carrying the weight is the solution, but the battle never belonged to us and never will. The battle belongs to the Lord. So Holy Spirit, we just pray that You would help all our friends today with whatever they are facing. Help them to lay down their struggles. You know, help them lay down discouragement, anything that is causing them to feel this sense of heaviness. I pray, Lord God, that they would remember that the battle belongs to You. So we pray in the name of Jesus that You would fight our battles. I pray that You would rise up against the forces of darkness that would try to take us out. We give every single care and burden on our minds to You, remembering that Yours is the glory, Yours is the honor, Yours is the praise, because the battle is Yours, the victory is ours as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.